And what I've decided to do is do one more message from our series entitled Papaw's Favorites. I didn't intend to do that. I really didn't. But I felt led the Lord to do one more. And when I looked at Papaw's Bible, I found John 17. And I could have went different routes with it, but I picked one verse that I thought would be good for this very last message on Papaw's Favorites. Notice what it says in John chapter 17, verse 11. Here's what this is actually, when you read John 17, this is a prayer. He's praying. I mean, it begins at verse 6, the whole chapter is a prayer. And you talk about, you know, sometimes what we call the Lord's Prayer really isn't the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We call that often, and the Lord did give it. But that's really the model prayer. The disciples had asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. Because nobody prayed like he did. They couldn't pray like he did. So he used the model prayer to give them an example how to pray. And you can use it I've used it before in preaching to teach people how to pray. So that, our Father which art in heaven, I like it and all. But it's mainly the model prayer. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. I mean, he's really pouring it down in this particular text. The next day he would be nailed to a cross and he's praying. So chapter 17 is rich. And I encourage you, if you've never read John 17, to read it when you go home. This is the Lord praying, and it's got some deep study in it. And there's no way I could touch it. I could do a series on it, and it'd take months for me to deal with it. That's how much stuff is in it. But we're just going to look at one thing in it today, and it's in John 17 and the verse 11. And he says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be as we are." Now let's turn over to the book of Luke chapter 16. And we're going to light here in just a little bit. I'm just setting everything up for you. Luke chapter 16. And we also want to look at the verse 19. And this is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And we want to begin at this, at verse 19, Luke 16 and verse 19. "There was a certain rich man, and he was clothed in purple and in fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores." Lazarus probably had leprosy of some type, but he had sores all over him. "And he desired to be fed, but the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." He's in a horrible shape, wasn't he? "And it came to pass, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in your lifetime received good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. I got five brothers, that he may testify unto them that he also come, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for those that were able to come today. And Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to preach. And we pray that you'd help me today as I preach and grant your unction in this service. move amongst us today, Lord. Touch people's heart with the message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to use as our title, stay in Luke 16, but I'm going to use John 17:11 as our title for the message today. And the message title is, I am no more in the world. And Jesus, of course, in his prayer in John 17 was talking about himself. And I think what he's referring to is, like I said, that was right before he would be laid on a cross or nailed to a cross. That was the day before that he prayed is when he said these things. Well, where will you be when you're no more in the world? Jesus is getting ready to ascend back to heaven. That's what was going to happen. He was here after he resurrected for 40 days. And after 40 days, he ascended. And you can see that in the book of Acts chapter 1. He ascended back to glory. Where will you be when you're no more in the world? And there will come a day when that will be true. If everybody here, do you all agree? There will come a day when you're no more in the world. In the book of Luke chapter 16, we're showed two men that seemingly died on the same day. But where they went when they left this world was different between both of them. I think there's two places people go to whenever they die. I also believe that there's no middle ground in this thing. I believe a person either goes to heaven when they die or a person either or goes to hell when they die. That one place or the other. And as the message title is, I'm no more in the world, my question to you is, where will you be when you are no more in the world? Where will you be? Y'all think that's a fair question to ask yourself? Everybody here needs to know where they're going to be when they're no more in the world. I'm going to give you five considerations in these two texts that I read to you. I read John 17:11, John 16. I'm going to give you five considerations. Might add a consideration if the time goes by pretty good. Consideration number one. Consider the two different destinations. Lazarus, of course, in the text, and the rich man, they died seemingly on the same day, but they had two different destinations. They didn't go to the same place. One went to heaven, which is referred to here as Abraham's bosom. Why is it called that? Because that's where Abraham was at. That's where David is at, see? He went to glory. All the Old Testament saints went to glory when they died. I know some teach that they did and they had to go to a halfway place till Jesus died, but that's not so. Elijah was caught up to the third heaven whenever he died. Old Testament saints could go to heaven because they were saved by Jesus' blood. You say, well, how did he affix it to them? They were saved on credit. The guarantee was so sure that Jesus was going to come and die that he took him on to glory. Do you think Enoch went to heaven? Do you think Elijah went to heaven? Scripture says both of them went up to heaven. If he could take those two were sinners too, so if he could take those two sinners to heaven, he could take the Old Testament saints to heaven. I think that's exactly what he did, which is another message altogether. So Abraham, whenever Lazarus died, it says that he went to the abode of Abraham. That's where he went. He went to where David was at and all those great saints of the Old Testament. That's where he went. All the great patriarchs. That's where he went. So, two different destinations. This man by the name of Lazarus, when he died, he went to the Father's house. That's where he went. But when that rich man died, he went to hell. See, there's two different destinations for both of those. And once this man we read about in Luke 16, once this rich man died who never knew Christ, there wasn't no change in his state. In other words, what I want you to understand this morning, beloved, his state was fixed then. There's no change in it. Once this man, this rich man was in hell, there was no changing this thing around. It was entirely too late to do anything now. I want you to consider the state is fixed. He was in a fixed state. People wait their whole life and plan on one of these days getting saved. I get sick of hearing it. And like I've told you a million times before, the greatest gamblers is not in Las Vegas. It's the gamblers are those that knows there's an eternity and believes in a hell and believes in a heaven and have heard the gospel over and over again and gamble that there'll be another day in their life that they're going to get saved. I've done the services of a lot of people over the years that I'd told and told and told. And people come and say, "Preacher, did they know the Lord?" I said, "I don't know." I told them, man, I told them. They heard me preach several times about it. And I told them, and I told them, and I told them, but I don't know. They never said nothing. They never made a profession. Do you realize you can't comfort a family if they never made a profession? Important thing. Important thing. Where will you be when you're no more in the world? There's going to be a time if the Lord don't come and you know, if all of us live, you know, there are 60, 70, 80 years or whatever, we're all not going to be here. Where will you be when you're no more in the world? Because once this world is over and once your life is over, that is fixed. There's no changing it. There's no other opportunity to get saved. You need to get saved while you're living. If you believe, if you agree with me, and if you don't, I don't know anybody here would disagree with me this morning with what I've said so far. But there might be lost people here today that also believe what I'm saying is true so far. You need to do something about this thing today. How about it? Why gamble with this thing any more than you have already? Well, I wanted you to consider the two destinations. And I also wanted you to consider when one died, one went to hell, and one went to heaven. And that's just how it is. That's just how it is. And once it happens, it's fixed. There's no changing back. I bet that rich man in hell is like, "Wait a minute, I've changed my mind." You can't change your mind once you're there. It's over. There's no changing it. Everybody got me? It's unchangeable. That's why sometimes we need to have more sense of urgency in witnessing to people, don't you think? We need to have a sense of urgency about these things. Consideration number two. I want you to consider, and I thought this was something, I want you to consider that the man that was named was Lazarus. It don't tell you what the rich man's name was, unless his name was Certain. It says Certain Rich Man. You don't think that was his name, do you? He was a certain rich man. He doesn't have a name. He didn't give him a name. But the one man that was named Lazarus, wasn't he? Lazarus is named all through the text. Verse 19, there was a certain rich man that was clothed in purple and fine linen. Verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named. It tells you what his name is. It says his name was Lazarus. It tells you what his name was. Everybody got it? Look down verse 23, in the latter parts of it, Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. You look down at verse 24, and he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me," and seeing Lazarus. Verse 25, Lazarus, it mentions him over and over again. Why is the beggar named and the rich man not? Why? I mean, surely he had a name when he was walking here on the earth, but the Lord doesn't use his name at all. I got one good answer for that. I don't think the Lord knew him. That's why I didn't use his name. He obviously knew his name, but he didn't belong to the Lord. He died without Christ. Turn to the book of Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to turn you to, I don't know how many verses. Some I'll turn to, some I'll quote. Matthew chapter 7. Lazarus was named because he belonged to the Lord. The rich man was not. He didn't know him. I can't imagine this, but this is also going to happen, Stewie, one of these days. There'll be a great host of people that think they're saved that are not. People get mad at me all the time because I'm real, I don't know how can I say it, hard on believing the true gospel. And I challenge false gospels. I do it publicly, do it on the internet, I do it everywhere. I challenge false gospels. I think there's only one way of salvation. Are y'all going to stand with me on that? One way. There's not 10 ways. There's one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but how? That excludes every other false religion, doesn't it? Right off the bat. They believe in a supreme being. Believing in a supreme being don't get you to heaven. You got to trust in Jesus. You got to trust in Him. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In your name we casted out demons. And in your name we've done many wonderful what? Works. Done a lot of works. Done a lot of works. They even done miracles. They done works. They done miracles. It says they casted out demons. They even prophesied in Jesus' name. They claimed to be prophets too. They claimed to be all of these different things. I listened to one on TV just the other day. Yeah. He's a prophet. You know he's after, don't you? Oh, you got to have that check. Send me your check and you'll get your blessing. They're after people's money. They have nothing to offer. They're shysters. I got more respect for the common thief that steals from somebody on the street than these fellas. Mercy. Many will say, Lord, have we not prophesied in your names and in your name casted out demons and in your name done many wonderful works? He said, I will profess unto you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He never knew him. Didn't belong to him. Never belonged to him. Lazarus was named because Jesus knew him. He was a child of God. He went to heaven when he died. All God's people see it. Two considerations we've looked at so far. Two different destinations. One went to hell, one went to heaven. Once they died, it was fixed. There's no coming back from it. It's over. The moment you died. Everybody with me? That's why there has to be a sense of urgency. It wasn't a sheep. Gospel of John chapter 10 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. My sheep hear my voice. I what? I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Oh, God's people say it. Well, Lazarus was named. Let me give you another consideration. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. We're looking at considerations as we looked at this great text. Proverbs chapter 13. I want you to notice Proverbs 13 and the verse 7. That's what it says. There is he that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. Did you hear the text? There is he that maketh himself rich, yet they have what? They have nothing. There is he that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. All God's people see it. Y'all believe that text? Isn't that a pretty verse of scripture? Well, the rich man in our text, and that's the story of the main thrust of the text that we're looking at back in the book of Luke, is that the rich man in the text was Lazarus. This rich man had great riches, but the riches he had no lasting value to them whatsoever. Here's the key to the whole verse. The rich man was Lazarus. All God's people say it. The rich man was Lazarus. This happened 2,000 years ago. Let's say this happened 2,000 years ago. For 2,000 years now, that rich man has been in hell. And for 2,000 years now, Lazarus, the one that was named, has been with the Lord. All God's people say it. 2,000 years. So what does that mean then? Which one was the rich man? Lazarus. Lazarus was the rich man. He's the one that had eternal life. He's the one that had eternal life. Proverbs 11, verse 4, I should have read that when we was there, but Proverbs 11, 4 says, riches profit not in the day of wrath. There's going to be a day of wrath when people are judged for their sin, and on the day of wrath, riches don't profit on that particular day. Book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26 gives us another consideration. It says, what does it profit if a man gained the whole world, but he lose his own soul? I've never been, you know what? That was one of the texts that the Lord used in my life. What does it profit if you get to be the biggest, greatest athlete in the world? If you get to be the biggest and greatest bank account in the world, if you have all these great kind of things, what does it profit if you have the biggest house in the world, best car in the world, great bank account in the world, and a wonderful retirement? What does it profit if at the end of your days you die and go to hell? What have you gained? You've lost everything. And many of you here today know that what I'm telling you is true, but you're just not doing anything about it. There's a missionary by the name of Jim Elliot. And the people that he was ministering to, something happened and they killed him. He got killed in his line of duty serving the Lord. He was a missionary. And they found a piece of paper. They found a piece of paper that he wrote. Brother Larry, they found a piece of something that he wrote. They found it in his tent. And you know what it said? I'm going to quote it to you. He is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. What they found in his tent. He is no fool which gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. The greatest thing can happen to you is for you to lose your soul. Beloved, I'm going to miss Brother Coy Music. I loved him. Still do, and always will. But he's gained something today that's far greater than anything this world ever had to offer. It's a glorious thing. Consider durable riches. Book of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 18 talks about we are to seek after durable riches. What's something that's durable? I can't hear you. If you want durable riches, and I'll give you the text where it's at, Proverbs 8:18 talks about seeking durable riches. It's something that'll last. Something that lasts. Lazarus had some things that lasted. Did Lazarus have a home? He didn't have a home on earth, but he had a home in the Father's house, didn't he? Remember, they laid that man at a gate. He obviously didn't have no family either. He had sores all over him. He probably had some kind of disease. Can I go ahead and say that he probably stunk? Or he couldn't wash. He couldn't move. I mean, you talk about a man that was in a mess. He was. But the theme of this whole story here is that the rich man was Lazarus. And the reason why that is his riches was more durable, more lasting than the other. Let me give you some things that the rich man had. The rich man be Lazarus. Let me give you some durable riches that Lazarus had. Turn to one, he had eternal life. How long is eternal life? Either have eternal life or you're going to face eternal death. You agree? Jeff Sexton threatens me all the time. He said, I'm going to spend 1,000,000,000,000 years with you. And he smiles. I'm like, oh, my. Yeah, that's something. But that's true. We're going to spend forever together. When you're born again, that's a great riches. Having eternal life is great riches. You agree? Nothing greater than having eternal life. And you know what eternal life is? What's the Bible call eternal life? It's a gift of God. God purchased it. Jesus purchased it by dying and rising again. And he gives it to you. How do you get it? You receive it. You say, Lord, I want to have everlasting life. I want to have salvation. God gives it to you. Durable riches is also victory over death. Victory over it. The greatest thing about being saved is it takes the sting out of death. You know the scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? No sting in it. What's a sting? Scorpion's got one. A bee's got one. And what can hurt you about a bee is a stinger. Sometimes wasp gets in there. Y'all realize that. It gets warm, be cold, and it starts getting warm, and then wasp starts falling down in the church. And the women, mainly it's the women, they'll start swarping and ducking and things. Now, if they come near my hair, I try to swarp them off too. But that, you know why you're afraid of that? You know why you're afraid of that wasp? It's got a sting. Sting's what hurts. But if you take the stinger out, nothing about it can hurt you. If you holler at him and say, Pastor, there's no sting in that wasp, I'll go, poof. And squash it with my hand, throw it on the ground. Yeah, I would, because there's nothing in it that can hurt me. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy? He took the sting out. Nothing in it can hurt you. Eternal life is a gift of God, and it gives you victory over death. He takes the stinger out of death. That's durable riches. If you don't have victory over death, you don't have durable riches. If you don't have eternal life, you don't have durable riches. If you don't have a home in the Father's house, you don't have durable riches. If you're not under no condemnation in Christ Jesus, you don't have durable riches. That's what durable riches is. Durable is something that lasts. Listen, I got something that's going to last. There'll be a day that either the Lord's going to come or I'm going to die. And on that day, what matters? I'm asking. Does your house size matter? Does your bank account matter on that day? Does your trophies matter? I used to have a lot of trophies. I got them up. They used to mean the world to me. I'd line them up. Line them all across the room, Rick, where everybody come in and see them, you know. They're upstairs somewhere. I don't even know where they're at. They don't mean nothing then. And that's the way it is for whenever Jesus comes. You need to have something that's durable, something that lasts. Well, beloved, those are five considerations I wanted to give you. And I want you to think about these today. You see the two different destinations that these two men had. Everybody see them? One of those locations, hear me, one of those locations is going to be yours. You either going to go to where the rich man went or you're going to go where Lazarus went. That's the bottom line to it. Where would it be if Jesus would come today or you'd die today? How would it be for you? Consider the one that Jesus knowed was a poor beggar. He knowed him by name, knowed him since before the world ever began. He called him by name, Lazarus. The other man wasn't because he didn't know him. Didn't know him at all. The rich man in the story was Lazarus. That's the considerations. Well, beloved, I'm going to go ahead and stop. And this message title is, I am no more in the world.